Howdy. How's everybody today? You're all looking good, you know? I think we all received a wonderful blessing this morning. Beautiful day outside. Nice sunshine this morning at 5 o'clock out in the morning in the front yard. It was nice and cool, gentle breeze blowing. Just makes you wonder, what are we sleeping in the house for? I can remember those days. Of course, God gives us a blessing every morning. When we're able to sit up, hang our feet over the edge of the bed and take a deep breath, don't forget to thank the Lord for that, because He's the one who makes all that possible. Now, I'll try to be quick, as usual. I want to start with the 6th chapter of Matthew. I'm going to start with the 19th verse. This is the Lord speaking. And He says, "Lay not up to yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." Now, I'm not going to do a lot of talking today, but I'm going to do a lot of reading. And the words that I read when I went through these four scriptures that I'm going to read today, they speak for themselves. What the message that's in there is quite clear and pretty heavy. So we just need to listen to it. And there's one reading I'm going to give you that the ministry has been told that should be read to everyone. And I'm going to fulfill my responsibility on that today. Okay, now I'll go back to read. "But lay up to yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." That's pretty meaningful to me, I think. You know, people talk about treasures. They talk about treasures here. They talk about money, position, possessions, things that they work for on this, while they're here on this earth, you know. A lot of effort goes in it, and there's a lot of skullduggery goes on behind a lot of it for them to get the things that they get. And sometimes I get the feeling that maybe we're working too hard for the things that we would like to have on this earth and not working hard enough on the things that we need to do for the Lord, so when we go up and stand before the judgment bar of God, that we will be prepared, that we will have fulfilled our responsibilities to Him and to ourselves by keeping His commandments, by doing His bidding, by doing the things that He directs us to do and not covet things that are bad. It says, "The light of the body is the eye, and therefore thine eye be singled, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great that darkness. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. It is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. And are ye not much more better than they?" So the Lord takes care of the things that can't take care of themselves. But we can do the same thing. We will get the same blessings from the Lord if we live our life in the style He wants us to live. "Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature?" Now let's see. If we all just really strain real hard and think just as hard as we can, how many of us think we can make ourselves grow a half inch? That's not much. You can't. You can try all you want to, and you can't change that. But the Lord could. The Lord is what changes everything. "And why take thou thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed. For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. So that's our assignment there. That's what we should be seeking. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I think that's the ultimate goal of all of us, is to be able to arrive at that station. Let's go to 1 John. Fourth chapter. First verse. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There are a lot of false prophets out there that have taken a lot of people away from the Lord. They've just drawn them away. The people that profess to know the Word of God and tell lies and try to convince people of those lies and draw them away from the Lord. And you're supposed to test the spirits. It says to try the spirits. That means to test them. Test them and see what kind of a spirit this is, you know. And it tells us how to do that right here. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Pretty simple test. And if they don't confess a God before you, or that they know or believe God, there must be something wrong. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. And we was talking about that some in our Sunday school class this morning. We didn't call it Antichrist. We called it, the people that don't believe in God? Atheists. They called it atheism. Atheists. They were called atheists instead of Antichrist, but that's what they are. And that tells you all about that in the Book of Mormon. Ye are God's little children, every one of us, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't think that needs any explanation. There are of the world, therefore speak, and I'll start again. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, and we knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And we're told many, many times that we should love our brothers and our sisters and our families, and how we should treat them and how we should act. So if we keep the love of God in our hearts, not just on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday evenings, but how about 7 days a week? That's why I say, when you sit up on the edge of your bed in the morning, give thanks to God for the blessing that he's given you to allow you to wake up and to pay a little bit of respect back to him. I'd like to go now over to Mosiah. Page 220. Let's see. I want to start with the ninth verse. I say unto you, if ye have come to the knowledge of the goodness of God and his matchless power and his wisdom and his patience and his long suffering towards the children of men, and also the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world. Now that was a long time ago, even before I was born. That thereby salvation might come to him that puts his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments. I don't know why that seems to come up every time I'm reading one of these books, and I guess it's because it's in the Bible and the Book of Mormon so many times. I think he really means that we should keep his commandments when he says that. And should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even until the end of his life. I mean the life of the mortal body. I say this, that the man who receiveth salvation through the atonement which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were and ever since the fall of Adam, or who are, or whoever shall be, even unto the end of the world, and this is the means thereby salvation cometh. There is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of, neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I have told you. I will read that again. And there is none other salvation. No, not one. There is none other salvation save this which hath been spoken of, neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved except the conditions which I've told you. Believe in God. Believe that He is, and that He created all things both in heaven and in earth. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all things that the Lord can comprehend. I don't think any man that I know of is as smart as the Lord is. You've got a lot of growing to do, because God was... He was a great creator. Think how powerful God was. He created this earth. He created everything that was in the earth. And His Son was right there with Him when He was doing this. And I sure wouldn't want to try to hold a shouting match with Him and think that I was smart enough to think that I was going to win. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe all these things, here's your homework assignment, see that you do them. If you believe what was just read here, see that you do those. Apply your lives. Live your lives like that. And again, I say unto you, I have said before, that as ye have come to the knowledge of the glory of God, or if ye have known of His goodness and have tasted of His love, and have received a remission for your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that ye should remember and always retain a remembrance of the greatness of God and your own nothingness and His goodness and long-suffering towards you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith. Of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angels. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, ye shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God, and always retain the remission of your sins. And ye shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of Him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And you will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and to render to every man according to that which is due. And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked, neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel with one another and serve the devil, who is a master of sin, or who is an evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, being an enemy to all righteousness. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And also ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor, and will administer of your substance unto him that standeth in need. And you will not suffer that the beggar putteth his petition to you in vain and turn him out to perish. So we're supposed to help the ones around us. We're supposed to raise our families in the right fashion. We're supposed to learn to honor God in our lifetime, and we're supposed to teach our children to learn and to respect God in their lifetime. If you do that, a whole lot of the hate that's in the world will go away. And if we can't do that, we're going to be in more serious trouble. Now, I want to go over to Mormon, in the Book of Mormon. It's on page 711. Well, my notes say to start on 76, but I think I'm going to start on 75. And now, of all ye that have imagined up unto yourselves a God who can do no miracles, I would ask you, have all these things passed, of which I have spoken? Has the end come yet? Behold, I say unto you, nay. And God has not ceased to be a God of miracles. I've heard people say that the day of miracles, I've actually heard people say this, that the day of miracles has gone away. That was an old belief. That was back in yesteryear. Well, I'm sorry to tell them that that hasn't happened yet. The days of miracles still happen. You think of, I can think of a lot of times when people have been administered to, and there's a lot of great relief that's come to them, and security and knowledge and help. What's that? Isn't that a miracle? When the Lord will come to your assistance when you approach him in right manner, isn't that a miracle? I've actually felt the Lord's hand inside of my back one time when I was administered to move my spine. When I was sitting right there in a chair, and the elders had their hands on my head. Now that's a miracle. And that's only one. No, I don't believe God has gone away. Behold, are not the things that God hath wrought marvelous in our eyes? Yea, and who can comprehend the marvelous works of God? And who shall say that it was not a miracle that by his word the heaven and the earth should be? And by the power of his word man was created of the dust of the earth. And by the power of his word hath miracles been wrought? And who shall say that Jesus Christ did not do many mighty miracles? And there are many mighty miracles wrought by the hands of the apostles. And if there are miracles wrought, then why has God ceased to be God of miracles? And yet be unchangeable, be an unchangeable being. And behold, I say unto you, he changeth not. If so, he would cease to be God. And he ceaseth not to be God, and is a God of miracles. And the reason why he ceases to do miracles among the children of men is because that they dwindle in unbelief. They're not strong enough to hold on to the belief they have in God, and the fact that even seeing the miracles or being around or hearing or reading about the miracles, they don't accept all, and they just are not strong enough to hold on. They wither away, and those prophets I was talking about that lead away the people's souls and destroy them, that's what they do to them. So you have to be strong. Have to be strong in your belief. I don't mean physically strong. I mean spiritually strong. Behold, I say unto you that whoso believeth in Christ, doubting nothing, whatsoever he shall ask the Father in the name of Christ, it shall be granted him. And this promise is unto all. Oh, as even unto all, even unto the ends of the earth. And that hasn't come yet either. So there's still a lot more promises coming. For behold, thus saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, unto his disciples who should tarry, yea, and also to all his disciples in the hearing of the multitude. And that means everybody that could hear what he was saying. Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth Excuse me. And he that, let's see. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And whosoever shall believe in my name, doubting nothing, unto him will I confirm all my words, even unto the ends of the earth. And now behold, who can stand against the works of the Lord? And who can deny his sayings? Who will raise up again the almighty power of the Lord? And who will despise the works of the Lord? Who will despise the children of Christ? Behold, all ye who are despisers of the works of the Lord, for ye shall wonder and perish. O then, despise not and wonder not, but hearken unto the words of the Lord, and ask the Father in the name of Jesus for what things soever ye shall stand in need. And quite often, if you ask it in the right way, he'll always grant your prayer. Doubt not, but he, believing and being as in times of old, and come unto the Lord with all his heart, and work out his own salvation with fear and trembling before him. Be wise in the day of your probation. Strip yourselves of all uncleanness, and ask not that ye may consume it on your lust, but ask with a firmness unshaken, that ye will yield to no temptation, but that ye will serve the true and living God. See that ye are not baptized unworthily. See that ye partake not of the sacrament of Christ unworthily. But see that ye do all things in worthiness, and do it in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And if ye do this, and endure to the end, ye will in no wise be cast out. So it's not a short-term contract that you're making. It's a long-term contract. It's a forever thing, a forever covering your life while you're here on this earth. I want to go over to 1 Thessalonians here. I know it's in here someplace. Well, I think it is. There it is. Getting closer. And this is the one where the charge was given that you all get to hear this. I'm going to read the fifth chapter of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. It's 28 verses. And then I'm going to sit down and then let you all go home and have a good dinner. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He's coming. Now, are we going to be ready? I think you need to, at least what I would like to think that I try to do is live my life in a way, whether I'm at home or at work or away from either one, that if the Lord happened to come up and sit down beside me or shake my hand and say hello to me, that I wouldn't be afraid to invite him to come right along with me and wouldn't be embarrassed for him to hear what I was saying or see how I was acting or anything else. Then I would feel a lot more comfortable about myself. But when the time comes, it'll come swiftly. I've seen it happen. I'm sure all of you have too. For when they shall... say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober. Put on the breastplate of faith, that's for your protection, and love. And for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath made appointed, for God hath not appointed us wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. And that's a mouthful, that little verse right there. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God and Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. And I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. And you folks have a real nice day, and I thank you for your kind patience.